song.
Yeah.
And the best part of that song, I'm like, don't believe it.
Sing, Pastor Quinn.
Stop believing, you're done. If you stop believing, you're done. You might still be here, but that's what you are done.
Amen.
So don't stop believing.
Amen.
Say that with me. Don't stop believing. Yes, love. Sister Sandy.
Yes, dear.
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. Amen.
We really
love you.
Appreciate you including us in this experience because I was raised in old school church.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older and became more intimate with God, I got tired of old school church.
Come on, come on.
Because all old school church ain't intimate.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I kind of got tired just from visiting here, the anniversary, the mother boy, doing all this stuff. What? Right. Can we go outside and have some fun?
Yeah. Come on now.
And so I've been a pastor since 2010 when my father passed away. The Lord passed the baton to me, and he began to give me a new vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that new vision, it didn't entail doing old school church.
All right.
So, besides Pastor Solomon's church, this is the first church we don't really visit.
Amen.
Reasons why I said yes is because I know that you guys lead the church to be the church.
Yes.
Yes.
And we are about vision and following God's plan.
Amen.
And I've seen some of the plans that God has given you. And we've worked together before in the past. And so we're excited to see what God is going to do in this fellowship.
Amen.
Now, you know, I've been trying to be new school, like my sister here, Pastor Amanda, and Elder Michael, and all the rest of my young crew, because I got a young church with young people.
Amen.
But I'd rather rely on paper. But it didn't happen that way today. So now I got to rely just on two devices. So I'm going to pray that it worked out right. But I know that God is going to do what he's going to do regardless of what I have on this paper. He has given me some hints of what he wants said to start. And then I'm just going to let him have his way. Let's pray. Oh, God. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're marvelous. You are magnificent. You are all powerful. You are such a lover of our souls. You're a comforter and you're a keeper. You're a protector and you're a God. You love us enough to accept us as we are, but you love us even more that you won't let us stay the way that we are.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless us, Lord, as we build on something that you placed in the pastor's heart. Help us to be more like you, God. And help us to let go of ourselves so we can run the race that you intended us to run. Individually. So bless this word, Lord God, that you have given us, going to go forth, and we'll forever give you all the praise and glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody got this rubber band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just stretch it. And you know, it's amazing because this is what the Lord always intends to do to us. It's a stretch.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable, that means you ain't kicking in with God good enough.
Uh-huh.
If you're comfortable, that means your ears aren't open enough.
Uh-huh.
If you're comfortable, that means that you don't intend to allow God to move in your life at the current moment. Because you can't be comfortable in God. Because God is always moving.
Yes,
even when he's still, he's moving.
Yes.
Because he's moving in the stillness.
Yes, he is.
And so I told myself, you know, we're not supposed to look like where we've been.
Right.
And we're not supposed to look like what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
We are to rejoice and be exceedingly glad.
Mm-hmm.
This is the will of God concerning you, concerning us. I told myself, I said, you know, my husband passed this month on the 3rd.
My Lord's room.
And I have a lot of good teaching pastors and elders at my church. I said, Father, I'm just going to let them just go ahead and bring the word for the month. And then I'll close out the series that we're talking about, which is purpose-driven. What on earth am I here for? 40 days of getting yourself back right to know why you're here.
All right.
And I'm going to close out the 1st of February. And then here come Camille. Contacting Amanda, telling us about this fellowship. I'm like, great! Let's do it! Let's go! And then she says, and she wants you to bring the word.
All right.
What? Pastor Barry? I mean, he started this thing off, so God, like, is it your turn? Let him start. Why you didn't ask this guy right here? He loved to preach. But God said, through the pastor, that no, I want Pastor Quinn to do it. And so it reminds me of Paul, because this whole theme is talking about rejoice in the Lord. And again, I said rejoice. And Paul was in prison when he wrote this book.
Right.
So, you know, we got a lot of things that keep us locked up on the inside.
Yeah.
People can't see it. You go to work, you do what you do. But on the inside of who you are, you could be locked up.
Yeah.
I wasn't locked up. But I was like, Lord, I got a lot of stuff going through my mind. I got a lot of things I got to deal with and prepare and all this stuff that have to do with people transitioning. And I just don't want to focus on the word. Because I got people that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we have scheduled preaching anyway, so. I said, no. So I said, okay. Because see, when you serve God for real, you're going to do what he said to do.
Yes. Right. Yes, you are.
When you serve God for real, he will move you past your pain. And when you serve God for real, you want to do what he's calling you to do. Because there's a word in your testimony.
Right. Amen.
I said, there's a word in your testimony.
Amen.
And every single person in here has a testimony that can touch someone's life.
Yeah. Bless the Lord.
I got my people, I got my family, I got people looking at me, they're like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm good. Are you okay for real? Yes. I am really okay. Why? Because I know that my husband is living with the Lord.
Amen.
His name was Ron Martin, Pastor prophet Ron Martin. So I know where he's at. And we talked about all this stuff before he transitioned, because it was a process through his illness to get to where God has called him to be.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I might have tears, I'm rejoicing because he's in no more pain.
Amen.
I'm rejoicing because he has gone where I'm trying to get.
Amen.
Where we all are trying to get.
Yes, yes.
My dad used to say, everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die to get there.
Right.
Well,
that's the only way.
That's it.
Unless Jesus comes, that is the only way.
That is right.
So you're going to see what this rubber band is about. But this year, every year, every day of your life, every week, every month, every hour, God is stretching you.
Hallelujah.
You get to choose. You get to decide if you want to give in to his stretching, but it's going to happen either way. So you can go with it, or you can make it difficult. Because if you belong to him,
mm-hmm.
if you belong to him, then that means he has free reign.
Yes.
And if he has free reign, you can't give it and take it back. It's his.
That's right.
Sometimes we got to go through some stuff that we don't want to go through, Ricky, because... You know, we ain't trying to kick it with God. And so when that happens, then God has to allow some things to happen so that we will get the message. And you know, sometimes, even when God does a thing, sometimes we're so ignorant spiritually until we don't even know that God is doing a thing. We never want to be in that position.
Help us.
To where you don't know that God is doing a thing. And it's bad luck, or why they do that, or it's like, little child, I am all over this thing.
Yes,
you don't even realize it. So the theme is, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I said, he said, and again.
Yeah.
He was in prison.
Right.
Write this letter. Can you imagine that there are some saints of God that go through stuff until they don't even have time to think about another child of God or a person that needs help? Because they're too busy going through their own stuff? Because I could have simply said, you know what, thanks for the invitation, but right now I'm just not feeling up to it. And they would have understood.
Yeah.
They would have understood.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I said, God wants to use me, I'm going to go ahead and allow him to use me, and it's going to help somebody.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to do well for me. Right? Paul never went on vacation. I said, Paul never went on vacation. And one of the things that I like about Paul is Paul was different than the other apostles because he didn't walk with Jesus in the flesh.
Yeah.
But yet still, he wrote like almost the whole New Testament.
Yeah.
All right.
This man was something else. I love Paul. So today, as I'm sharing through this message, you know, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, but really what I'm going to be asking you is, will you rejoice?
Come on.
Will you rejoice? So through my message today, you are going to find some questions that God wants you to answer. You're going to find some suggestive self-examination. So, I mean, let's face it. When we come to church, man, y'all some. I mean, y'all some. You made us feel good. Praise God. God is so good. He's amazing. When we come to church, we see people that we love. And we feel encouraged. We hear testimony. Somebody said a super fire good prayer. You know, we hear an amazing word. And it's awesome. But guess what? We can't live in that moment.
Right. That's right.
But guess what? You got to go home.
Yep. Sure do.
You have to go home. And not only do you have to go home, you have to go home to the same stuff that you left when you came in here.
Oh, my.
Because you know how they say, leave your burdens, leave everything at the door, come in and worship and praise God and everything. Yes. But when you get ready to step out, the devil already like, oh, yeah, you had a great time today, huh, Rick?
Guess what? Remember you have that like $678 bill and your parents aren't going to help you? Or whatever the case may be, you might have some personal
That's
issues.
True. That's true.
You might have issues with a loved one or your mate. You might have issues with somebody in your family. You might have issues at work, in your neighborhood, at the grocery store. Or guess what? Even in church.
Oh, my.
Paul talked a lot about church stuff and a lot of things that church folks needed to get right. Why did he have to tell us that? Because obviously it was a problem. And obviously I just moved my, Amanda, find it for me. No. Honestly, I just clicked on the wrong thing. That's why these devices get on my nerves, because they just won't stay put.
It's stretching.
Amen. Amen. Let's face it, we all have to deal with our situation.
Yeah.
And Paul constantly dealt with his situation. Now, before Paul was converted, he was a Jew, very religious. He was the crown of the crown. Nobody was better in stuff than Paul because he knew the law. But he really didn't know love.
Yes.
Right. He loved the law so much and wanted to protect it so much until he set out to kill people that were involved in the way, the move of Christ.
Yes.
Because he loved God so much, but he had no idea that the Messiah had come.
Mm.
So when Jesus got a hold of him,
yes.
I said when Jesus got a hold
yes, he
of
did.
Him, things right. happened and things changed.
Yes.
You have to have a personal, intimate relationship with God in order to have transformation.
Yes.
You can't just go to church. You just can't be religious. It's about relationship.
Yes. All right. Yes. Yes.
If you don't have a personal, intimate relationship with God, you need to get one today.
Amen.
Right. Because it will change everything. It changed Paul's life forever. And it changed him so much so until he went on this new crusade to bring the Gentiles to Christ.
Mm.
And some Jews too.
Right.
What will you do to let your light shine so that men can see Christ in you?
Right.
What are you willing to do? What did Paul do? Paul said, I give up everything and call it dumb. Just to be weak, y'all know what dumb is?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
The old folks used to call it BM. Y'all know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what everything that he'd been through, that's what he considered it. Can you imagine? You have to know who this person was. He had a very high esteem status from where he came from, and he said it was all nothing just to be able to embrace Christ. And so the thing about Paul that I love so much is that we can relate to Paul. Why? Because we ain't never seen Jesus in the flesh. But this man devoted his whole entire essence, and he feel like he's being poured out like a drink offering, but it's okay because he has been called to help change lives. Are you unselfish enough that you will pour yourself out like a drink offering so that you can help change somebody's life? These are questions that you have to ask yourself. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
In other words, do what I do and I do what Jesus did. Do you live that kind of life? You should. Paul is not the person that says, do as I say and not as I do. I know a lot of people from old school church since I was a kid that will sit up there and say a whole bunch of stuff.
Right, right.
What you better do.
Mm.
And then you find all this stuff that they're doing.
Mm, well.
But then they'll still come back on Sunday and say it again. You better do what you're supposed to do. But see, Paul wasn't like that. He led an amazing example. And another thing I like about Paul is he was truthful. Because sometimes he said, hey, what do I do when I do and I don't want to do? But when I don't want to do, I do. And when I do and I do, I just don't know what's going on. Who can help me? Who can save me? Thank God for God.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The scripture is saying, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. He wrote this to the new birth Philippian church.
Right.
He was in prison. Mm-hmm. And he's writing them saying, hey, keep the faith. Keep going. And if you look, let's take a look. If you look through Philippians, it's only four chapters. Uh-huh. But we got to start looking at the word of God as, hey, this was somebody's life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
This stuff really happened. He starts off by giving a greeting. Then he gives thanksgiving and a prayer. Then he goes on to talk about the joy that Christ is being preached. He's so happy about that. Then he talks about his life for Christ. Then he talks about live as citizens of heaven. Then he goes on to talk about have the attitude of Christ. Mm-hmm. This is a letter.
Yes.
When the last time y'all wrote a letter?
Right.
Then he goes on to say, shine brightly for Christ. Then Paul commends his fellow workers. Then he goes on to talk about the priceless value of knowing Christ. Then he starts talking about press towards the mark. Don't give up. Don't retreat. Don't hide your head in the sand, but keep pressing towards the mark. Why? Because there's a predestined end that God has already predetermined that you will achieve. Then he gives some words of encouragement.
All right.
Now, see, I like Paul, because Paul don't have a problem correcting people.
No,
he don't have that problem. So he's like, hey, while I'm telling y'all about the value of Christ and the press forward, let me address you two ladies. What y'all doing? With y'all disagreement in front of all the other church folk,
right.
Or in front of the baby Christian.
Right.
Stop it. And hey, brother, you sister, you brother, help them. Get it right. Let's come to some agreement in God.
Right.
What in the world is going on?
Right.
He in prison, but he concerned about his people. While you have issues, are you concerned about anybody else? Think about that. Are you concerned about somebody else? Does God want your issues, your problems, your circumstances, your experience to take a back seat so you can help minister to somebody else through your issue, through your problem? Are you even willing to do that? That's what Paul did. And then after he did that, and after he said all that, then he said, rejoice.
Yes.
Yeah.
After I done told y'all all this stuff, rejoice.
Yes.
So what is God saying to you today about really rejoicing? Because, you know, we can sing these songs, we can do all this stuff. But, hey, at the end of the day, to thy own self be true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day. To thy own self be true. Because God already know the truth.
Right.
He want to stretch you so that you can be bigger in him, so that you can forget about your flesh and walk in the spirit. But he can't do that. Or no, I won't say that. He can, but he won't.
Yeah. That's right.
He won't do it. Because we are in partnership with God. Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to partner with God to get right, he's not going to make you get right.
That's right.
That's what being a free agent is all about. You get to choose. Paul spent over 25% of his missionary time in prison. In the Roman prison existence, they were stripped naked often. They were flogged, very bloody. They had wounds that went untreated. And they were very mutilated. The prisoners were in chains, sometimes in their legs and their wrists, and it was very painful. The cells were dark, especially in the inner cells of the prison,
like the one Paul and Silas was in when they were in Philippi. It was cold, they lacked water, they had cramped quarters, it was difficult to sleep, and waking hours were terrible and ridiculous.
Yes.
The prison food, if they got it, was very poor.
Yeah.
The conditions were miserable, so bad until the prisoners just begged for a speedy death.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But he writing to them, as he's still speaking to us today. Now, there were some prisoners that were privileged, mm-hmm. and so they got to be like on house arrest. That happened to Paul a couple of times. But it wasn't free.
Jesus.
You had to pay for that.
Yeah.
So he had other believers and people that would help pay for his stay. But yet still, this man said, rejoice? How could he do that? Only because he knew the Lord thy God. Only because he knew that God had a plan and a purpose for his life. Only because he knew that Jesus said, oh yeah, I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
He already knew.
Yes.
So y'all should already know that you're going to go through some problems.
Yes.
Some issues and some circumstances.
That's right.
But I can guarantee you that in America, none of us Christians have suffered like these folks in the Bible. Amen.
Not a one.
Now we got some people in the Middle East that's been beheaded and some things have happened to them, but not up in here.
That's right.
Not yet.
Right.
That's true.
So, have you suffered for Christ?
Mm.
You should think about that. You should think about it. Have you given up anything for Christ? Mm. Have you given up anything for anybody else so they can rejoice?
Yeah.
Have you went without so somebody else can get an answered prayer and rejoice?
Yes.
There have been many a times where somebody needed some money and I gave my money. I was like, okay, God, well, you know I got this bill due this on Friday, but what are we going to do about that? But I still gave because they were in need sooner than I was.
Right.
Yeah. So I gave it. So Paul tells us to rejoice. So what y'all going to do? Many of Paul's letters were communications, they were corrections, they were encouragement. And that's what I'm here to do, is to encourage you today, but at the same time, I'm here to stretch your thinking.
Yeah.
Because you got to get uncomfortable when you're following God. You cannot be comfortable when you're operating in purpose. What has God told you to do? What is your shape? What's your spiritual gifts? What's your personality that you can connect with people that I can't? And how are you using them? If you're not, that's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm really here to make you uncomfortable, because guess what? If I tell you everything that I've been through in my life, you'll be like, wow. And she still got common sense and she's still in her right mind.
Right.
Only because of God.
That's right.
I had planned to murder somebody.
I know, we talked about that.
But Jesus said, no, not today. I got plans for you in about 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
I need you in 2010, so I can't let you do that.
Yeah. That's right.
Review your life, Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Review your life. It's not yours. It's
yes.
His.
Yes.
And you got stuff to do. And you need to get excited about what your purpose is. And no matter what happens or no matter who says what, you should be about your purpose.
Yeah.
Amen.
People didn't want me to be a pastor, but you see where I am.
Amen.
All right. Because what God says will come to pass if you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
If you do what you're supposed to do, nobody can stop God's plans in your life.
Right.
And God's plans for you is just not for you to have a great life.
Yeah.
It's for you to help somebody else.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not just for you so you can have a great 401k, so you can retire and go to the Bahamas. No. It's about changing lives and touching lives.
Yeah.
And while you're touching lives and changing lives, you need to change your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
You cannot stay the same. And God is moving and working on the inside of you because he won't let you.
Amen.
I said he won't let you.
That's right.
Paul said he was a prisoner of Christ.
Yes.
And that kind of sounds weird, but I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because
captured by his love.
Yes.
And he can't be open to bed to let me out. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do tonight?
That's right.
What am I supposed to do? I'm kind of used to doing what I'm doing, so, like, what would I do?
Yeah.
I'm going to stay with you because you are everything to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So everybody start stretching that rubber band. Think about your life like this rubber band.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable, then it's time for God to stretch you some more. God stretches you through your problems. He stretches you through your circumstances. He stretches you through your lack. And he stretches you through your giving, and your loving, and your caring, and your sharing. He has so many ways to stretch us. Two more things. So rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, says Paul. So what are some things that we can really rejoice about? We can rejoice because we're a part of God's family.
Yes.
Because our name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. And you can only die once. So hey, whatever happens, it happens. You're going to be with him.
Yes.
You can rejoice because not only do you have the Father and the Son, but you have the Holy Spirit
that's
on the inside of you.
Yes.
To comfort you, to guide you.
Yes, Lord.
To speak to you. Then you have unlimited resources at the throne of grace.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Unlimited.
Yeah.
Nothing can separate us from God. That is something to rejoice about.
Yeah.
Right. Another thing to rejoice about is that all things work together
for the good.
For the what?
Good.
For the good. It didn't say all things work together for good and everything's going to be all right with you. No, it might not be all right. But it's going to work together
for the good
of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Called according to his
purpose. His purpose.
You got to fall in love with your purpose because it's his purpose for you.
Right. Yes.
If you have a problem with your purpose and you know it, then you have a problem with God. Because it's nothing better than being who God created you to be. Because nobody can be a better you.
That's right.
We have ministering angels that have been called to minister to us. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
I mean, when you really think about it, that's amazing.
Yes, it is.
And then we have God who said that he's going to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. You can rejoice because trouble don't last always.
Yes.
Temporary. Yes.
Hallelujah.
You can rejoice because you have the word of God that you can hide in your heart. Yes. And nobody take that from you.
All right.
So ask yourself, are you ready to stretch yourself to rejoice? Because sometimes you don't feel like it.
Right.
But when you own the truth of God, you have to rejoice.
Yes.
The you inside of you will rejoice because you know the truth about God.
Yes.
So now here's my last point. Now
take
it.
Take your time. You got all that.
You got all that.
I love the Spirit.
Okay. So you have this rubber band. And you gotta stretch yourself. So one thing about stretching is you have to stretch to be spiritual.
Come on.
Say that, stretch.
Stretch.
To be spiritual.
To be spiritual.
You gotta do some things. You just can't just be in your flesh. You have to stretch to be spiritual. The next word is trust. Say trust.
Trust.
You have to trust God in everything and in all your experiences. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You got to trust God. The next word in stretch is R for rejoice. Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
You got to rejoice in order to move forward no matter what. Because if God is aiming to teach you a thing, you ain't moving forward till you done learned that lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so God said, look, I done already told you that you lost that job on purpose. And I'm not going to give you the next thing or the next step or the next move until you start rejoicing in me. I don't know what kind of God y'all serve or how God talks to you, but God talks like that. He will take, no, not today. I'm not. Because you're not rejoicing. The next word is embrace. Say embrace.
Embrace.
You got to embrace the fact that we got to pick up our cross and follow him.
That's right.
Yeah. I say you got to embrace it.
Yeah.
This can't be reading of the scriptures. No, it's got to become a part of you. If he said pick up your cross and follow me, think about everything that he went through before he even got to the cross. To be hung on the cross. So look at your life. You're going to go through some stuff. People going to talk about you, betray you, disappoint you, abandon you, desert you. It's bound to happen. And if it ain't happened to you, then you need to come see me so we can talk about it. If we talk for a while, then just say, oh, right there, you was a man. Oh, right there, you was neglected. Oh, right there. Because sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees.
That's right.
You got to understand when things take place and happen in your life. The next word or the next letter is T, transparency.
Yeah.
Transparency is the key to being a good witness for Christ. If you're not transparent about your life, about the jacked up stuff that you did and the mistakes that you done made, how in the world are you going to be a witness?
Yeah.
How are you going to be able to say, hey, see, I was like this, and then God did this. I made this mistake, but then God showed me this. If you're going to think that you are always holy and you don't have no story to tell, then you cannot be a good witness for God.
Yeah.
Everybody got a jacked up story somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody got some stuff in the dark.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
No.
I said everybody. Oh yeah, that's some stuff you don't want nobody to know, but some of that stuff can help someone else get over.
Yeah.
Help someone else come over to Christ. Help someone else know that they still got a chance.
Yeah.
Help someone know that God still loves them, even in their mess.
Yes.
The next word is committed. You got to be committed to Christ. And you got to be committed to Christ because in your commitment, there births change. In your commitment, births change. When you're committed to God, some change will come. Transformation will come. Growth will come. Maturity will come.
Yeah.
Seeing things differently will come.
Yeah.
When you're committed to the call that God has on your life.
Yes.
For you to be the best version of yourself and then for you to help somebody else.
All right.
And the last letter is H and the word is heaven. We got to remember that we are not citizens of this place.
Yeah.
We are just right. Passing through.
Yeah.
This is where we are headed.
Yeah.
Heaven is our goal.
Yes.
And you got to live like that. You can't live like you have tomorrow and the next week and the next month and 50 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to live every single moment of your life like today could be the day.
That's right.
Today could be the day. Paul said, I can't decide, like, where I want to be.
Yeah.
I want to be here with y'all, or I want to be with God.
Yeah.
It'd be better to be with God, but I know I need to be here with you so I can help you get to God.
That's right.
So I guess I'll stay here.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
He said he was torn.
Yeah.
And you know, I've lived a long time now. I'm 59 years old. And Camille, I can tell you that if I die today, guess what? It is okay.
Yeah.
Because all of my cheerleaders, all the people that I love, all the people I roll with, the old school people, my mama, my daddy, the people that serve God, my husband, they're there, Solomon.
Yeah.
Why do I need to stay here?
Yeah.
Because I know that I've done, up until today, I've done everything, Solomon, that God wanted me to do. But I trust and I believe that I know that I'm still going to be here because God has already given me some other things that I have to do that haven't came to pass yet.
Yeah.
So that knows, that lets me know that I still have purpose.
Yes.
So when there's breath, there's purpose.
Yeah.
Yes.
My husband was in a facility and he passed away, but while he was there, even though Camille, he got lost in dementia, a word came to him from one of our ministry partners and said, I know you don't want to be here anymore. And he just started crying.
Tears, Jesus.
He couldn't communicate, but we could feel his spirit and we could read his eyes. And he started crying, someone, because she was right. Mm-hmm. But she said, do you think that there needs to be a prophet and a man of God everywhere in God's world? That's why you're here, because your spirit is still praying for these other sick people in here.
Yes.
Your spirit is still witnessing to the visitors. That's why you're still here. So I don't know how much longer you're going to be here, but for now, rejoice.
Yes.
That's it.
And be exceedingly glad.
Yes.
And so when you think about yourself and you have your little problems and all that stuff, guess what? It ain't unto death like Jesus.
Yeah.
So it ain't really that bad.
Yeah.
It might seem that bad. It might feel that bad. But in God, it is not that bad.
Amen.
I have this amazing saying that everything is better with God.
Yeah.
No matter what you go through, no matter what happens, everything is better with God. Why? Because he's going to go through with you.
Yeah.
You are not alone.
Yeah.
So when you think about Paul saying rejoice, and again I say rejoice, it ain't because he wants you guys to have a shout me down party.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he knows that y'all going to go through some stuff. He knows that they were going through persecution, mm-hmm. but yet still rejoice.
Yes.
Because it's God's will concerning you.
Yes.
So that's rejoice. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Give the Lord a hand for it.
Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Everybody. Everybody to your feet. Everybody say God.